Monster Movie Media presents. And welcome to episode 72 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, we take a look at all the creepy announcements from the upcoming park, Shanghai Disneyland. But before we get to that, I just want to remind everyone it's coming up oh so soon, Sunday, August 16th at 4:30 p.m. is the world premiere of the Dark Side of Disney documentary. It's taking place at the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana, California. If you live in the area or going to the D23 Expo that weekend, this is the perfect way to end that weekend. Myself and fellow Creepy Kingdom contributors Roxy Tart and Cupcake Terror appear in the film, and myself and Roxy Tart will be hosting a Q&A after the film. You can pre-order tickets at a discounted price. You can find the link on our website, creepykingdom.com, by going to the blog section or going to dsoddoc.com. Now, without any further ado, let's begin. Hey, I'm here with Adam Leonard. Hello.
Hi.
The leader of the Creepy Kingdom Army, is that what it is? Or?
I think I'm the Admiral. I am the Admiral of the Creepy Kingdom Navy, I believe, last I checked.
Admiral of the Creepy Kingdom. That does not roll off the tongue. We got to come up with something better than that.
Yeah, I think we change it every like two or three episodes, so I'm sure something new will come along.
Well, you're the Admiral of Creepy Kingdom.
The Admirable Admiral.
And still the Creepy Kingdom Hall of Famer legend. Mm-hmm. For reasons that you'll have to go back and listen to. I won't bring it up again, but I just like that you're the only one.
Yes, people aren't stepping up their game. People aren't bringing their A game to the show. And so, you know, nobody's, I guess, given a performance worthy of being put in the Hall of Fame yet, other than me. Only at the top.
Yeah. Can't argue with that. Not the creepy Hall of Fame or whatever it is. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some news that transpired while we were on break about Shanghai Disneyland.
Indeed.
Now, Shanghai Disneyland, this was announced years ago. I mean, probably like 2011?
Sounds about right. I know it's been gestating for a while.
So when you hear these news as a citizen of the United States of America, you know, at first you're like, they're building a park and some far off land. You're like, ooh, cool. You know, but first news are kind of like whatever about it, because it's like, I never really thought that I would get to go there. You know, like, and also you would just kind of think, oh, another Disneyland style park. All right, cool. You know, like, I got the Disneyland right here. You know, so I wasn't really that excited about the news when they first announced it. Then, over the years, they've been trickling out this information of, like, like, this is going to be like the premier park for like the next level attractions. Like, and I've slowly been getting more and more excited and thinking, you know, I don't know, maybe we got to take the trek out there. You know, I mean, you know, it might, you know, well, this is to be fair, you know, it is a dream to go to every Disney park, you know.
Sure. That's an admirable dream.
Yes. So, but, you know, so if I ever, I've never been to Asia at all, but if I, you know, my dream now is to go out there and do it. Do all three parks, Tokyo, Hong Kong, and now this Shanghai, which, yeah, we'll see if my dreams come true on that one. But anyways, I think this is exciting because not only is there a lot of next level attractions going into this, there's a lot of dark creepiness and original ideas being presented here. And this could set a precedent that could trickle into the U.S. parks. I mean, it's wishful thinking that we're going to see it in our lifetime. I mean, but who knows? But maybe, you know. I mean, we're not going to see this stuff trickle in the United States until like at least 15 years from now. You know, at the rate they're
at going. Very least, I guarantee you that they probably have some kind of exclusivity clause where, you know, they're not allowed to take these attractions and put them in other parks for X number of years. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, so they have some kind of a draw. But we were discussing this a little beforehand about the proximity of Shanghai to Hong Kong Disneyland. So what was the distance between the two parks?
What I got, it was about a two-hour plane ride.
So that's not really that far.
It's like, in theory, if I, you know, I live in Oregon, it's kind of like if I decided I wanted to take a plane out to L.A., that's about how long it takes me. So it's like as if you had a Disneyland in Oregon and then a Disneyland in L.A.
I mean, I think that seems crazy too close for the United States, but I guess they have the population to support that over there.
It's kind of fascinating too, because like you know, I'm not like a world politics or news expert, but I get the general idea that China is not like the most approving of like America or our way of life or our values. But I do find it interesting that they need like two Disneylands.
Well, yeah,
and maybe that's because they have to be on like the same footing as us. Maybe it is like some kind of competition thing, but it is definitely kind of fascinating that something they have latched onto from our culture is perhaps one of the most American things, which is like Disney.
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird. I mean, that's actually an interesting point or topic I think a lot of cultures maybe they've kind of adapted it as their own thing. Mm-hmm. And they don't really see it as a standard or as a representation of American culture. But at least the films, but it's kind of hard with the theme parks. I mean, that's pretty American Disneyland,
right?
You know, and to even still call the parks Disneyland as opposed to Disney's, you know, Chinatown. I don't know. It's a great name. San Francisco. Yeah. I know. It's a different country, I know, I guess.
Forget about it, James. It's Disney's Chinatown.
All right. Or Disney Chinatown, because they got rid of the apostrophe, yes. see how we get when there's no female co-host? We just get really crazy. No one to reel us in.
We are off the rails, sir.
Off the rails. Sorry, gals. You can't control us now. We're getting crazy. oh, brother. But, yeah, a lot of news has been released, and I feel like we should kind of go into it. I think they've kind of announced all the lands for the park. And a little bit of what's going there, along with some major announcements of attractions, of rides and attractions that we could only dream about riding here in the United States of America. But so as far as them not having American culture, this is going to be the first Disneyland park without a Main Street USA.
Mm-hmm.
which is interesting. You know, I kind of, it's weird. The whole Main Street concept, it's something that, I don't know, we've always just kind of accepted, even though it's really odd. And it was probably really interesting in 1955 to do Turn of the Century. But, you know, us going to the parks in the 80s and 90s, I'd say have no connection at all to the turn of the century. So, essentially, Main Street is just Disneyland. Like, that's what the connection is to me, right? I don't know if you feel right. The same way. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm back in the good old days. Like, it's a part of history that's barely represented anywhere in popular culture. It's not like there's a bunch of movies that take place. I mean, maybe there are. I'm just not watching them. I don't know. But, you know, it would be interesting to take a Main Street and put it in the 50s right now, because mm-hmm. then you'd have some kind of cultural point of reference. But anyways, that's my rant on that. But Mickey Avenue is going to replace Main Street. So it looks like, I don't know what that means, what exactly is going in it. It looks like it's just the same purpose. Walk down the street, chances to buy a lot of stuff, and you'll be able to meet Mickey Mouse or something like that.
And, you know, it kind of makes sense, because, I mean, like, I will say, to be fair, that that I would say that Main Street, that I wouldn't say that I don't have, because I definitely have a lot of reverence for Main Street, because anybody who's like a Disney fan worth their salt, you know, whether they actually grew up in that time or simply know their history, you know, knows what Main Street's supposed to represent. Of course, mm-hmm. it's supposed to be a throwback to like Walt's childhood home.
Right.
You know, childhood city growing up. But, you know, I think Main Street is less relevant in other cultures simply because I think that probably, you know, things, you know, like their typical small town during that period of time was probably very different than the one that, you know, that the Americans latch onto.
Yeah, they would literally and have no point of reference for this at all.
Right, exactly. So I mean, it would make sense that you might that might be something you're going to want to pick something that's a little more relevant to your viewing, you know, your audience.
Which, I mean, I would say that should be the case probably in all the parks outside the United States, but they've all done it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's definitely interesting.
So, yeah, interesting with that one. Not too much to say about that. You know, it is what it is. Another difference there is that, they're kind of getting rid of the classic hub that we've all come to associate. It's still sort of a hub, but it's not the straight-ahead spokes. It's something called Gardens of Imagination. So it's a little bit of a maze. Not a maze, that's not the right word. But it's not like a straight throughway, for what it looks like, from the concept art. So that's a little disorienting, I guess. But apparently they're going to be making the biggest castle they've ever made, with attractions inside of it. There's no real details on that.
They haven't specified whether it's supposed to be based upon a particular princess's castle.
Yeah, we don't know. Maybe we do, but I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't see this information anywhere. But like I said, I feel like at some point, I did see concept art for the castle. And from what I remember, they had a little bit of, looks like some kind of attraction inside of it, but look like it's going to be kind of like a bunch of princesses are going to be in there living together in a big castle or something.
Disney's Hall of Princesses.
Yeah, there it is. So, but I think we filled our quota on princess talk, so.
Yes, move forward.
And they're going to have Fantasyland, which Fantasyland is usually my favorite land in the Disney parks.
Really?
Yeah, particularly Disneyland. I love the classic dark rides, and I mean, let's see. Magic Kingdom, is it my favorite land? Yeah, probably still. But Disneyland, definitely. So, but there's not too much going on in this Fantasyland that's really got me excited.
Fantasyland will feature Enchanted Storybook Castle.
So I guess that's where the castle's in, of course, in Fantasyland.
Voyage to the Crystal Grotto, whatever that is. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Alright.
Peter Pan's Flight Ride, so I'm assuming that's probably going to be the classic dark ride, I would think. I really like the Veg, and as well a chance to wander the 100-acre woods with Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, that's very like, vague.
It's not, very specifically, it's not like the Winnie the Pooh ride. That there's just going to, you could explore the 100-acre woods with Winnie the Pooh, so I'm going to care actually is in practice.
Right, well, there's a chance. You know, it's not guaranteed. There's only a chance to do that. So don't get your hopes up on that either. Voyage of the Crystal Grotto could be something, though. Mm-hmm. It could, you know, any ride with Voyage in it, you know, this promises something. Some kind of danger, right?
Sometimes. Is that it makes me think of, like, that... Because there's, like, a vintage Disney attraction, right? Where it's, like, you... Just like a mine train through Nature's Wonderland or something that had a bunch of crystal stuff.
Am I crazy?
Yeah,
no, you're right. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, no, that's you're not crazy. That's where it's where Big Thunder Mountain is
right
now. Yeah,
there were some donkeys out there too. I remember.
Yeah, yeah, that would be really strange if that's what that was. It's like they have all these like next level like you know groundbreaking attractions, and then they brought back Mine Train through Nature's Wonderland. I was like, that could be something we don't have any word on it. They're bringing this.
That
seven,
could be something cool. Yeah,
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train I like. So, but you know that's not a new thing that we're excited about. Have you ridden that?
I have not. That opened. Since the last, you know, from when I used to work there. So, sadly, I've not been on the mine train yet.
I like it. You know. You know, I gave it the, yeah, that was fun. I gave it one of those. You know, there was a lot of extreme emotions or reactions to it. And particularly opening up the same time as Escape from Gringotts. You know,
it does feel like this is another podcast entirely. So very quickly, I did feel that was like the biggest problem is that it kind of seems that Universal and Disney were kind of firing on different calibers.
Yeah, so it's a little weak comparison, but you know, I ended up writing it twice last time I was there, so I must have liked it enough.
So, James, feel of approval.
I was like, swing cars are fun. Bring it to another park, sure. Right on. So,
well, it's kind of their de facto newest ride, so it's not a shock that it's going to go wherever the new park's going. So, right on.
Yeah. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, we'll see what it comes to Enchanted Storybook Castle, as it's officially titled. We'll see what – but I doubt it's going to be anything, like, super cool, you know? Like, you know, I mean, I'm sure it'd be cool, but, like, not – you know, it's, I don't
all
think it's going to be.
Steal my idea, Disney. It's totally fine. If you're listening, Iger.
Yes. I just don't think there's going to be any dragons like in Disneyland Paris. You know, like, I just...
probably not.
So, yeah, we'll see. But, all right, let's get to the meat and potatoes here.
Yes, let's actually get to something to talk about here.
So, Tomorrowland.
Okay, Tomorrowland, like the big thing, and I think this has been rumored for a while, is Tomorrowland's getting something called Tron Light Cycle Power Run.
Incredible.
Awesome. I'm assuming this is probably in place of Space Mountain. That would be my assumption.
Right, yeah, I mean...
Because really, like, I think to have, like, a Tron like cycle coaster and Space Mountain would be kind of redundant. I mean, I'd love it, but
probably a little overkill. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. But I'm actually going to take a step back here and just say a Tron attraction's being built. This is huge.
Yes.
Because for one, I mean, initially they wanted to do a Tron attraction. I believe it was in Disneyland. it was one of the U.S. parks when Tron came out in the 80s, and it bombed at the box office, so they didn't do it. And Tron Legacy came out, and I think it just did okay, like as far as like box office goes. Pretty split reaction by the fans. I know some people think it's a bad movie for some reason. I think it's awesome, but
I thought it was great.
But there's some people out there that think it's a bad movie. So I see it's really polarizing. I guess that's what I'm looking for. And then, of course, the really sad, horrible news that they had announced they were doing Tron 3, and then they just canceled it very recently as well. So it's kind of like, but now they're building a Tron attraction. I think that's kind of, I mean, I guess they're obviously too far along on this project to cancel it or change it to, I don't know what you would change this to. But I don't know. This is crazy. You're on the bikes from the movies. I'm sure they have a name that I'm not remembering.
Light cycle, aren't
they? Light cycle. There you go. Thank you. I knew there was something besides bikes. That's got to be a first, right? I mean, maybe there's some place where in the world there's some type of roller coaster where you're on a bike, but it's got to be the first in a Disney park.
Now, I wonder if it's going to be like a singular coaster or if it's going to be like a dueling coaster. But I could have swore I read somewhere that that some place said something about racing against other ride goers. Like, so I kind of wonder if it is just going to be like one track or if you're going to have like blue track, red track.
Well, in this concept art, there's no red to be found. But don't know whether it's going to be, doesn't really seem clear whether there's going to be two tracks or not. It's kind of interesting, this show building, it's outside, but it's covered. That's an interesting.
Yeah, it's got a very kind of crazy. It kind of looks a little bit like that, like the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah.
You know, there's a deep cut for your Disney podcast. this is definitely one of the rides that I'm praying to all like the Disney gods that somehow, some way, it finds its way eventually out to stateside.
Yeah, I feel like that's never going to happen. Not only like just mostly because of the fact that they just canceled Tron 3. You know, like you know that. This is not the current Disney company is not the one that's going to build an attraction over a movie that they don't want to promote. You know, I mean, I get it. Obviously, I know Disney parks have always done that, but you know, there were still things that I know. There's been examples of films that were not successful, but they had attractions. And the attractions stayed for a long time. I'm really drawing a blank on what any of those are right now. This, but I know it's happened.
No, you never know. Stranger things have happened. Let's say that the Tron light cycle becomes a huge, like the ride becomes like the most popular ride in the park, and all of a sudden there's like a huge like raving Asian demand for like Tron 3, and then we get like Tron 3 starring like Jet Li or something like that.
Okay. This could be the Tron resurgence that we that we wanted, but
I kind of just want to see a Tron Kung Fu movie. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it could be like I don't know. I was thinking of like old video games. I just thought of Street Fighter for some reason.
The Matrix. Yeah. It's basically the Matrix.
There you go. You already have it. Go watch it. It's called The Matrix.
Now they can just get a Matrix ride in Tomorrowland. Now we're cooking.
Wow. I'm sure they're trying to figure out how to reboot the Matrix too. So
yeah, like I should talk too loudly because someone's gonna get an idea.
That's one of the ones we haven't heard yet, but I'm sure there's a lot of people. There's some people that are chomping at the bit, figuring that one out. But anyways, back to Disney. So it was this Buzz Lightyear planet rescue thing literally looks like a Dumbo spinner to juxtapose this awesome Tron ride. Because you would think that it would be like the Buzz Lightyear ride, it's over here. But in the concept art, it looks like some kind of, there's a spinner ride there. It doesn't necessarily look like Buzz Lightyear at all, but it just looks like...
Yeah, that's like baffling. Like, why, like, you already have like a superior Buzz Lightyear ride. Why aren't you just putting that thing in there rather than some like overdubbed up like carnival ride? That's kind of questionable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the always like, yeah, you got to have these rides.
Yeah, it's for the kids. I mean, I get that. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, I guess there's no Dumbo here, though, huh? I guess, yeah. Because did we miss that in Fantasyland?
They're holding off until they can make, like, the really angsty Tim Burton Dumbo attraction.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay. Right on. That's gonna be their haunted mansion. It's going to be Dumbo. Yes, of course we've noticed, sadly, there is no Haunted Mansion-esque attraction.
Oh, sadly.
But, yeah, well, what are you going to do? But
once again, I would probably chalk that up to, I'm very suspicious, it probably has something to do with the existence of Mystic Manor over in Hong Kong. Because, like I said, I kind of feel like with the close proximity, they're trying to set this park apart from their Hong Kong sister park.
Yeah, and... In case you, the listener, are not familiar with Mystic Manor, it is the, maybe, when did that, 2011?
I think. Yeah, sounds about right, yeah.
That's the second time I'm guessing about 2011 in this episode. Something was going on in 2011, but one thing that would have, they opened this ride, and it is, it's like the Haunted Mansion, but it's, again, next level, I don't know what else to say. I did cheat and watch the ride through videos on those because I was like, I'm never going there. And I was like, whoa. And that was just from the ride through videos. So yeah, do yourself a favor and check it out or wait till you get to go to Hong Kong. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, I guess what are they going to do? They're not going to do, the classic Haunted Mansion.
Actually, 2013.
Okay. My bad.
Anyways.
They're not going to do like a classic Haunted Mansion in Shanghai, and they're not going to redo this exclusive, one of a kind, Mystic Manor. So I guess they just were like, "Yep, just not going to have it."
Moving on.
So, do you have any other thoughts on this Tron light cycle thing here?
I'm really excited to know more. I love roller coasters, and probably among my favorite type of rides are like heavily themed roller coasters. So I'm definitely curious to see like what comes of this ride.
Yeah, I think no matter what, even Tron or not, just this type of ride vehicle and the layout looks very interesting. So even if you don't care about Tron, like this is really interesting. And like you suggested, this is the Space Mountain replacement. So, I don't know. But
I kind of hope they get Daft Punk to do the score for it. That'd be cool.
I didn't even think about music. Holy crap. Yeah, like, that would be awesome.
I mean, it seems like that would be like the reasonable thing to do is to contract them to do, they made an incredible film score. So, one would think that you'd want to have that present in your Tron light cycle adventure.
Well, we'll see as this unfolds. We'll see exactly what's going on, but this is really cool news. So, yay, Tron! So, moving on, we have two lands are calling, but we're kind of skeptical how much of lands they really are.
Yeah.
So, we've got the Star Wars Launch Bay, which, I'm not quite sure, why they went with that title. the miles just took off Launch Bay because that just sounds so generic. Doesn't mean anything, right?
it's like the next two parts sound like stuff out of like Disney Hollywood Studios, but it sounds like basically it's a Star Wars museum.
Right, because it says it will feature set pieces, props, and memorabilia from Star Wars: The Force Awakens. So it's a look at the new movie, which we'll all love because it looks. I'm sure of it. I know it.
I am very optimistic, cautiously but optimistic.
We're gonna love it. But yeah, there's no attractions here. I mean, it's just kind of like. Kind of seems like a temporary meet and greet type setup thing, you know, just to promote a movie, which, you know, maybe there is. And plus with this Launch Bay title, it seems like you're going somewhere, right? That's where the Launch Bay is. So, I don't know. Maybe there's more to come. Because there's been no announcements about anything Star Wars in any parks, just all rumors. So maybe there's going to be expansions here after the park.
Oh, you're definitely going somewhere, James. You're going to go on an intergalactic voyage to the gift shop.
Well, yeah, I can't wait to take that journey. We're not going anywhere. The Launch Bay. I'm just baffled by that name of this land. Like, you could call it so many things, but the Launch Bay, okay.
It's like they have, like, the queue for Star Tours, except without the Star Tours part.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah, it's just like you go through the queue and then there's a gift shop. You, like, the bay doors open, and instead of, like, the ride vehicle, it's gift shop.
Yeah, you're like... I'll just let you walk right through that. You're like, keep moving, don't stop on the ride, go walk right through, and that's what it's like. You know.
There's like a Jar Jar Binks meet and greet waiting for you at the other end.
Yeah, that's the big thing no one knows, is that The Force Awakens is really all about the further adventures of Jar Jar.
There's actually, diverging just for a second, there is actually something on YouTube, if you look up The Binks Awakens, where somebody just basically took the Star Wars Force Awakens trailer and just added Jar Jar all over the place in it.
No way. It's horrible. Yeah, so that's what it really is, guys. So get ready. But, you know, like, while we're on the Star Wars subject, one last thing, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, pretty much, you know, people really hate the prequels. You know, I think there's some cool things in some of, you know, parts of the movies. You know, I've seen worse movies, for sure. But, and even, you know, and I've even watched, you know, Phantom Menace, like, and just kind of like, all right, you know, I can appreciate this for what it is, sort of. But I just can't look past Jar Jar Binks. Like, I'm just like, every time, like, you've got to be kidding me. There's no way that you thought this was good. Like, like I can't, like, it's too much. It was like Jar Jar Binks is like Poochie from The Simpsons or something.
Yeah, pretty much. He is Poochie. If Poochie somebody actually made a Poochie type thing exist.
It's like, we focus group this. And that's the crazy thing about it is there was no focus groups, because you know, the way that the prequels were made was that George Lucas made them independently, and then, you know, got the, you know, then 20th Century Fox, you know, got paid to distribute it or whatever, you know, like, so there was no focus groups, you know, like, there was nothing. So that's, but it just seems like it, because I'm just like, anyways, enough about Jar Jar.
Yes.
I just
went on for a while on Jar Jar.
He's like, Jar Jar's not even in this at all, in this Launch Bay or anything.
That we know of.
All right, moving on. This other sort of land is Marvel Universe. Guests attend a multimedia session briefing on the world of Marvel, get up close with some popular Marvel superheroes, and take on the role of a comic book artist as they learn how to draw some favorite characters. This kind of sounds like what's at Interventions right now, right? In Disneyland.
Yeah, there's two things that reminded me of. It did remind me of Interventions. I don't know, did you ever do like the Journey to Meet Thor thing?
I did not. I didn't get to do any of that stuff last time, was there?
Because basically it's kind of, sort of, a really lame show. Like, because I did it, and so it's like, So basically they corral you into this room and you're like, you're going to go on a journey to Asgard to meet Thor. And then you're in like this room, this like enclosed room that's got some like props, mm-hmm. and you're in there for like a really long time because there was like a big line. So I'm sitting in this like little enclosed space for about 20 minutes. Wow. And then out of nowhere, jarringly, all of a sudden like some loud noise starts playing and then like the room starts smoking and stuff. and that's supposed to be like your magical journey to Asgard.
Well, you know, I'm glad they realized that Asgard is not in Tomorrowland, so you had to actually, you know.
Yeah, to be fair, that's just because, like, to be fair, that is true, that at least they attempted to try to explain that, because Captain America, you just kind of go meet Captain America, but what this kind of reminds me of, like, because first of all, this sounds like whatever this is going to be is probably going to be lame, just, again, I'm a huge Marvel fan, but, like, the way they're wording this, it sounds like it's going to be really lame, and it sounds like, to me, it's going to wind up being, like, you know, that really crappy string of attractions that just got closed down at Hollywood Studios for, most recently, I think it was, like, the Jack Sparrow thing,
and then before
that, it was, like, Narnia, and
yeah.
It was just, like, this really pathetic attraction that was there to hopefully try to eat, like, you know, five people an hour, but that's how many people were going to that. So that kind of sounds like it's going to be, like, the Shanghai's version of that.
Which is bizarre, because they have free reign to do anything in Marvel, you know, over here. Now, you brought up an interesting point, though, again, with the Hong Kong thing, right?
Yes, Hong Kong is getting a Iron Man ride, and once again, I don't know. You know, I can't say that I have any kind of inside knowledge, but would not shock me one bit if Hong Kong had some kind of contract in place stating that they were the only ones who were allowed to have a Marvel ride in that area for X amount of time. So I'm wondering if they can't build a Marvel ride right now.
I mean, that has to be. Why would they not do it?
Right.
See, for me, I feel like there's going to be Star Wars attractions in this park because they just haven't announced anything for any park, you know, like yet. But with the Marvel one, it seems like they got nothing. Like,
right.
You know, like, they're not even like, this. It's not the Marvel launch bay. You're not going, you know, this is the universe. This is everything. You know, like, you know, it's not, you know, Marvel's front door. This is like, we got everything. And this is like, this is it. You know, it's like,
But you get to learn how to draw Spider-Man. Isn't that worth something?
Yeah. Nah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. How many people does that really appeal to drawing? I mean, I'm horrible at drawing, so I can just draw.
Yeah, I would be a spider stick man for me.
Yeah. So it's I'm not too excited about that, but I don't know. Maybe Shanghai. People in there on there are like super stoked or drawing all the time, but I don't know. Yeah, it just seems like filler, and it's such a weird use of the franchise, or not a weird, it's just a waste. So, but it's probably because of the Iron Man attraction, which only thing that's really gonna be known about it is that it's gonna be very similar to Star Tours. That's the only thing that I've heard about the one that's coming to Hong Kong.
Digital projection strikes again.
Well, it's also, I don't know, you're like, yeah, I guess you're just going to be in the in a simulator.
See, that makes me so sad, because it's kind of like, and you know, maybe it's just me, but I just think the use of simulator is just like a cheap, it's kind of a cheap crutch. I don't think it's ever going to be as good as like a practical thing. And maybe it's definitely less expensive and probably easier. But it just kind of makes me sad when I see, you know, theme parks become more and more reliant upon simulator and projection rather than practical effects.
Well, that's a tough debate. I mean, obviously I love practical things, you know, but I think with the Iron Man thing, it's kind of like, I don't really know what you would do, but I think probably the toughest part of making now Marvel Cinematic Universe attractions is, you know, I don't know if they can really make it. I'm sure they can, like, but if they're legally can make animatronics of other people's likeness or licensed products with that, you know, because when all the Marvel merchandise doesn't really, from what I see, a lot of it doesn't have the likenesses of the actors on it. Usually they're, unless I'm wrong on that.
With an Iron Man, you don't necessarily run into that problem, though. Because, you know, ostensibly, I mean, you could have a Tony Stark in there, but you could also, you know, you can also get away with, you know, you can also get away with just having an Iron Man, which doesn't look like anybody.
Right. Now, but I feel like, I don't know. I feel like you want to see Robert Downey Jr.'s face. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. But so wouldn't you run into the same issue when you're doing, like, the video, you know, all of their video attractions? I mean, don't they kind of operate under similar, when they open or operate under similar licensing?
Yeah, probably. I probably don't know what I'm talking about. But I just only thing that I heard about any of this was Enchanted with Giselle, you know, the film Enchanted. Are you familiar
yes.
with Yeah, with that. You know, they created Princess Giselle, which was Amy Adams, like, because it was basically the likeness of the princess is Amy Adams. That was Amy Adams, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was like, anyways, and so they didn't want to include Giselle like as like a Disney princess and start merchandising, because then they would have to pay royalties to Amy Adams forever because right. it would be her likeness. So I know there's that. I don't know. Maybe I'm totally making that up, but yeah, I guess when you hear, you know, when you hear like, I guess an Iron Man attraction could really be anything, really. I guess is where I think about it, you know. But it could be kind of a roller coaster with dark ride elements.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, I think of, you know, as I think it could work as a Star Tours simulator type attraction.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I mean, I definitely get where you're going with that.
You know, so I mean, it's not like Spider-Man, I guess, at Universal, you know, like they could right. do something like that, but you kind of want to fly around and feel like you're, you know, when I think of Iron Man attraction, right? You're like, you're just like up in the air and being tossed around. I mean, I don't know why you'd be in whatever, what you're going to be flying in or.
They could do something really cool if they had that KUKA arm technology. Is that KUKA arm? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, you know, like if they had the same technology that was driving Forbidden Journey. You know, you could make a pretty killer Iron Man ride.
True, which I believe the exclusive rights on that are just about up, if they're not already, that Universal had on that technology. So, yeah, we'll see. But either way, we're going on and on about something that isn't at Shanghai, so.
Yes, back on track.
So, what are you going to do? So, our next island is, if you want to do the honors.
Or Adventure not, Isle.
I said island. I was thinking of Islands of Adventure. Our next land.
apparently, it is a new take on Adventureland featuring the Roaring Mountain, Camp Discovery, Soaring Over the Horizon, and Roaring Rapids, which features a massive alligator-like creature.
Now, this is very interesting.
Yes.
A land completely filled with no IPs. Like, that's kind of, like, pretty bold. Like, there's nothing. And so it's all left to our imagination, except for this concept art. Let's talk about Roaring Rapids, this very generic Six Flags-esque name, which I'm sure there's rides in Six Flags with that title.
It's also, true fact, is also a name of a pizza place / mini golf course near me.
All right, so that's how generic it is. I'm not sure where they went with that name, but this looks pretty nuts.
It's got a giant alligator.
So you get in, the ride vehicle is just like your typical Roaring Rapids ride, for lack of a better phrase, which is Grizzly River Run. I guess that's the one at DCA, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming that it's probably taken a page out of that, and it was a Kali River Expedition over in Animal Kingdom.
I don't know. I don't ride those rides, but
okay, fair point.
Because, but yeah, whatever they have, and they have those rides at, I say Six Flags, but I'm sure they have them at every amusement park around. You know, that's just
Adventure's got a Popeye one,
right? Right. This has that typical ride vehicle where you get in, it's a circular tube, and you float around randomly, and you're probably going to get totally soaked. You know, that's you know, you're like, oh, cool, another one of those. But this looks to be indoors, so that's the first difference. And there looks to be a giant alligator that it wants to attack you. Now, this scale, what would you say the scale of this alligator is?
It's getting close to like a T-Rex.
Yeah, like it's huge. It looks as though it could probably like take the raft in its mouth.
Yeah, definitely looks that big.
Yeah. And like that's nuts. I mean, especially one of the fun things about being on those kind of rides is the unpredictability about where you're actually going to end up as you bop around the river.
Yeah, I'm assuming that thing's animatronic.
No, it's not. Maybe. Hopefully it's not real.
Yeah, they just have like a giant genetically made like crocodile creature.
I saw Jurassic World.
Hopefully, it looks like it's going to be pretty massive. Hopefully, they learn whatever lessons they need to learn from Expedition Everest, and we're not left with like a disco croc after like, 6 months worth of use.
Wow, that's the first time that is. We're gonna remember this moment. The first time I heard disco croc, I'm sure I'll hear it many other times. Well, let's hope we don't go. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking too. It's like the Yeti has been plagued. Yeah. And this looks, if not, I mean, from the concept art, of course, it looks like it might even be bigger than the Yeti in Expedition Everest. Like,
yeah, it looks like it probably is, I would say. So, James, you don't really go on this type of ride. A little known fact, James is actually a Mogwai. That's why he doesn't actually like to get wet.
Yeah, I don't want
to
multiply.
So, say that magically your wish came true and you wound up at Shanghai Disneyland. Would the promise of whatever this is be enough to get you to ride that kind of ride?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going on this. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what I'm saying, here's the thing. Rides where I get totally soaked take preparation that I usually am not prepared for. That's so.
Oh, that's right. Because you're like Mr. Tech Man, so you've got like. Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, it just does. And usually when I go to the parks, my trips are always these like extreme, like commando, like, you know, very fast paced. You know, so it's like trying to cram as much stuff in as possible, and you know. Getting totally soaked isn't really usually on my agenda, you know. Like,
right.
Like Splash Mountain is like, you know, you don't really get, that's fine, but you don't really get too wet on that. But like, I don't, you know, like the, I mean, I've been on these Roaring Rapids type rides at Six Flags near my house, and came off completely soaked head to toe, like,
yeah.
You know, like not a dry part of my body, so. You know, the squishy socks, the whole diet. You're like, I'm just like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty much good on that. But yeah, like, but this is nuts. I mean, I do want to ride the one at DCA because it looks like there's some kind of cool elements to that one. Have you ridden that one?
I have, yes.
Yeah, so that looks like there's some things I'll actually look at there, if I'm not mistaken, from what I've seen of it.
There's some beautiful scenery. There's definitely that.
One of them has fire, right? Maybe that's the one in Animal Kingdom.
I think that's Animal Kingdom, actually, because Animal Kingdom is a little more storylined. Because like in Animal Kingdom's one, you're kind of just like you're kind of taking a nice little river expedition, and then like a logging truck like blocks your route, and so you're like routed into like a more dangerous direction. From what I recall, I didn't get super soaked. I would say I got no more wet than I did on Splash Mountain on those. Because
really?
Okay. I think Disney probably practices a little more moderation with that kind of thing. I did know when I went on the Popeye ride at like Universal that I got drenched.
Wow. All right. So duly noted. Maybe I could just hop on these and I don't know, throw my phone in a locker or something.
Yeah, they have free lockers, especially at the DCA one. I know for a fact they have free lockers that you can use while you're doing it.
Oh, Right on. Yeah, I just like the idea of it. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that, and I don't even look into it. but this, yeah, no, I'm, and that's the other thing too. Like you said, if I magically, you know, my wish come true, like it is. This is a bucket list thing now. Like I gotta get to this park. You know, like I've always wanted to go to Japan in general. That's kind of just been something I've always wanted to do, and like Japan and not just Tokyo, Disneyland, but just go to Japan. So that was like a dream trip that I wanted to do. And then when Mystic Manor opened up at Hong Kong Disneyland, that gave me a reason to want to go there. You know, before that, everything besides, although their Halloween stuff at Hong Kong Disneyland seems to be pretty extreme. That's from what I've seen.
Yeah, they do seem to, it just seems to have like an actual proper like Halloween event.
Yeah, it looks a little intense stuff that would never fly over here. So more Halloween Horror Nights-ish is what it looks like. So, you know, there was a promise of maybe something like that if I ended up going during Halloween time, which is unlikely because there's so many things happen Halloween time around here.
Right.
But whatever. But then with hearing about this, you know, even before these announcements, I was like, this park seems like it's going to be so awesome. But then with this, with all these announcements, I'm like, I got to get here. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen. But, you know, I have a few more years left in me. I think I could figure it out.
Yeah. You're not going to die tomorrow.
That I know of. Yeah. I mean, even if this is my, you know, even if I'm like halfway done, you know, that's still got a lot of years left. So, you know,
right.
I'll get over there. Maybe they'll add on to Star Wars by the time I get over there. I don't know, but there's not really too many information about the rest of these things. Roaring Mountain, Camp Discovery, Soaring Over the Horizon, which I
wonder if that's, I'm assuming that's like the redo or the update to Soaring. Because I know. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, okay. Go ahead. You go ahead.
I was just gonna say because I've heard a lot of buzz that, you know, they're planning on bringing Soaring to. Because you know I'd heard some stuff about them trying to bring Soaring, that they're gonna bring Soaring to Shanghai and use that as an excuse to finally make a new video for the ride.
Oh, I never heard that. That's cool.
Yeah, I think I heard. I think it was Jim Hill talking about it.
Huh.
So my understanding is that there's supposed to be a Soaring somewhere in the park, and I think that's they're going to use that as an opportunity to make, like I said, a new video.
The only thing I've heard of Soaring Over the World. I don't know if that was the official title, but that's all I heard.
Right.
And that's probably what it is. I mean, it's not a stretch. Camp Discovery, Roaring Mountain. Camp Discovery sounds, you know, it's like something I'd skip. But Roaring Mountain, I mean, that could still be something there, too. I mean, there's concept art of a huge volcano-esque mountain with water dripping down it. So, I mean, that's got to be something, right?
I would kind of assume that Roaring Mountain and Roaring Rapids are connected. Like you know, this is just pure speculation. But I would think that probably Roaring Rapids goes into Roaring Mountain.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's too similar in title.
So there'll be like a giant alligator living in there. So you got that to looking forward to.
Well, that's a whole new take on Adventureland. That's you know, instead of Jungle Cruise, you get this. So
Disco Gator.
You get Disco Gator. Or Disco Croc. That's what you said.
No, Disco Croc. That's right. Disco Croc.
So yeah, Adventureland, or sorry, Adventure Isle.
Not
sure where they went with that instead of the lands that they were saying or anything else, but yeah, whatever works for them. So we now have reached our last land.
Yes.
Which is Treasure Cove. This will be an entire land themed to the Pirates of the Caribbean, including the high-tech Battle of the Sunken Treasure ride. Essentially, they're building this land, and they're going to have a bunch of mini pirate-esque things to do around it. But it's kind of surrounding this huge attraction. Instead of Pirates of the Caribbean that we all know and love, It's the Battle of the Sunken Treasure, and it actually is themed to the films. This whole land is themed to the films. So that's kind of a big step, huh?
That's exciting. I definitely would be very, very curious to see what an entire Pirates of the Caribbean themed land is.
Because it's been really interesting since the films came out, how it kind of changed what you kind of expect out of the ride. Not you or I or the average mm-hmm. Disney fan, but just, you know, the average person that goes to the park. You know, they did include, you know, some of the characters in 2006, but for 3 years, it was just the classic Pirates attraction. And so I'd imagine if someone just Joe Public saw, you know, the Pirates movies and loved them and then wanted to go ride the ride of the same exact name, and they go on that ride, we're like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't understand that this was like a very old attraction. You know, like, you know, this is like kind of a very old classic attraction. I could see how somebody might be a little bit confused about what they just witnessed.
Right. Yeah, then so I don't mind. I never mind that they included Johnny Depp and Barbossa.
Yeah, it was always fine for me.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't take away from anything, and it kind of made those people that don't know what's up be like, okay, you know, like, I've ridden the Pirates of the Caribbean ride now. I've saw the movie. Now I see Captain Jack. I can move on. You know, I get it. So, but this is like pretty much saying, yeah, we're not going to redo the classic attraction, and we're just going to take this to a whole other level. From what I've heard about this attraction, it is a whole other level. Like, this attraction seems insane.
Enlighten us.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'd love to. I mean, basically, this is the only thing that I've been hearing about over the past few years, is all this slow information has been trickling out about it. I know that essentially you're in the middle of a pirate battle, and I guess essentially you are at the beginning of the ride. But I think it's going to be a little more extreme and intense than the splashes of cannonballs at the beginning.
Right, it's going to be that concept stretched out to an entire ride.
Yeah, that seems to be what the case is. The show building looks massive. Somewhere recently, I saw the construction photos of it.
Here's the thing. I was having kind of a deep thought, as deep as my thoughts tend to run, anyways, about this whole Pirates of the Caribbean area. So, like, essentially, to do a Pirates of the Caribbean area, naturally, you would have to have like an actual, like, you know, an actual Captain Jack face character. Right. If like in some of the stuff we were looking at today to prep for this, I definitely saw a video of Jack Sparrow, and it appears that being played by a Caucasian male, from what I could see. And so I'm kind of curious, when it rolls out in the park, are we going to have like an Asian Jack Sparrow, or are they going to keep it Caucasian? And if they keep it Caucasian, that's kind of like the fascinating scenario for me. So does that mean there's going to be like some expat that's like essentially living in, you know, Shanghai, and their existences are just basically playing a famous movie character in an Asian theme park? It sounds very lost in translation to me.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Do they have face characters in the other Asian parks?
I don't know. It's just because there was an actual video of Jack Sparrow in this one. That's what sparked me thinking about that.
I'd imagine that they're probably going to be the original, you know, ethnicities of the whoever face characters, because I mean that's the way that it is.
That's so strange. One would think that they're gonna have to import then, because you know, to be fair, I'm sure that there are white people, you know, like Caucasian people or people of like the appropriate ethnicities, you know, living in China.
Yeah, but how many of those people fucking work at,
right, Disney? So it kind of feels like, is Disney going to, like, import their talent from other parks? They're going to, like, say, probably, like, hey, do you want to, like, move from Orlando, Florida, and essentially live in China?
Some people will say, wow, this $10 an hour job sure got interesting. You're like, sure, I'll go. I mean, I don't know how much they make, but
I suppose you're probably. I'm sure you're there. There's probably some of that, but I'm sure a lot of these people are. A lot of these face actors are probably younger people, and I'm sure that, you know, if many people were presented with a chance, like, you know, basically you get to go live in China for a while, and you don't have to look for a job or anything like that, because, you know, we're giving you a job. I'm sure they'll probably, you know, probably help him with relocation. I'm sure there's probably a lot of people who would take them up on that kind of offer.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's probably what they're going to do for these type of things, but maybe they won't even have it. maybe they don't have face characters. I can't think of any pictures or anything I've ever seen of any face characters in any of the Asian parks. So, but I don't know. But I did find the synopsis of the ride, which would make more sense than my "it's going to be
fire
awesome.
Away."
So, in summary, Pirates of the Caribbean: Battle for the Sunken Treasure, a spectacular indoor boat ride that will take guests on a rollicking adventure with Captain Jack Sparrow to steal the priceless treasure of Davy Jones. Seamlessly blending Disney storytelling with state-of-the-art technologies, the attraction will feature three large media domes, projected effects, lifelike animated figures, theatrical sets, sophisticated lightings to dramatically take guests on over and even under the sea on a nautical adventure. With a highly controlled ride system, the boats can spin, travel sideways, even move backwards to create a highly personalized experience. Guests will encounter fearless pirates, mermaids, and even a kraken. Disney's patented automatronics and recent advancements in robot technology will bring the pirates to a new level of a realistic performance.
Hopefully their mermaid effect is better than like the little bubbles they added to the other pirate rides.
You didn't see the projection?
Uh-uh.
No, I saw it.
So there's an actual projection. I'd heard there was just like some like bubble in the water to make it look like there was something there.
No, that's only at Magic Kingdom. They didn't do that at Disneyland. That's the one thing Magic Kingdom's and Pirates has over the Disneyland version is it has mermaids. But
and ghosts.
Yes, well.
Anyways.
I'm sure there's some ghosts in that. It is that one. It's a projection. It's very subtle. And then there's a splash. And I think there's like giggling sounds. I don't know, or something like it's something you could very easily miss, which is a very interesting thing to add to the ride. Like if you're not looking for it, you would never even notice that was happening. But you see like part of a tail, and you see there's a little splash or something, like the bubble, and it pops up. But some podcasts I was listening to, I don't remember what it was, they were on the ride and said that it said like the projection said like Windows fail or something or whatever. It's like,
oh, dude, that happened to me once on Expedition Everest.
Really? Where?
Yeah, like at the part where you're supposed to see like the you kind of go when you go start going backwards.
Oh yeah, right.
Back to the cave.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you're like the Yeti supposed to see the Yeti projection. Yeah, it just had like an error message sitting there.
You're just like, wow, this mountain is pretty advanced.
See, like if you didn't think that Expedition Everest could get more ghetto than it already is.
Yeah, so and that's what's worse than the projected in the water. It's because all your attention's on that.
But I am really excited for the, it's kind of cool to think that somebody's got the opportunity to, they get to basically completely reimagine a classic attraction. So that's really exciting to see what's going to come of that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty exciting. You know, I think overall this whole park, there must have been something that said, you're not just copying the same things. This is going to be the area where Imagineers get to really do what they do best and have the financial support behind it, because they're not being allowed to do that thus far in the United States parks. You know, I mean, let's be fair. I mean, I'm not trying to be pessimistic. Disneyland, obviously, or DCA got a lot of great things recently. there's a lot of rumors and a lot of talk about more things coming to Disneyland, and the, not specifics, but that there's going to be a lot more coming to it. As of very recently, this was discussed because of some plan with the city that they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of thinking about Walt Disney World, where, you know, the things that are coming are so far off that they might as well not even think about it. Like,
right.
You know, like that, you're like, come on, guys. You know, at the time of this recording, you know, D23 Expo hasn't happened yet, and we're all waiting to hear what announcements they're bringing to the table, particularly about Star Wars in Hollywood Studios and Disneyland. So,
yeah, that's been frustrating because it looked like, you know, like a while ago that it felt like, you know, like the announcements for this were imminent, and now it kind of feels like things have gotten clogged up. It's just really, it's kind of, it's for another podcast, but it's definitely, yeah, definitely unfortunate. I mean, it's very clear that, you know, Shanghai is going to be something to behold. I do think that, you know, I do think that China is a country that's very competitive, and they hold a lot of pride for their country. And so really, I think what we're seeing is they're basically what they're doing is they're like, all right, well, if we're going to, you know, build another park, they want to have, like, I think to them, they want to have like the best Disney park, because they want, I think that, have that as like a matter of pride. And I think that's why we're seeing all this money thrown towards all this kind of like, you know, revolutionary new attractions.
Yeah, because I think this park is a partnership with Shanghai. It's not.
Yeah.
So, and from when they first announced it, it was really important to have a lot of the local culture worked into it.
Right.
So it'd be interesting. I mean, I guess the one thing that's always weird to me about actually visiting these places, and I've talked a lot about this with Michelle, who's gone to Disneyland Paris, is that I always feel like it's going to be weird to hear another language on the attractions.
Right, right.
You know, so, you know, but as far as the stuff at Shanghai, it seems like it doesn't matter what language you're talking in, because you're just, you're going to be sensory overload with some of these attractions.
You're going to have like a giant crocodile talking Mandarin to you. That's what you're going to have.
Wow, if the crocodile talks, that's going to be horrible. He'll just say like, get out of my cave in Mandarin.
Except you won't know what he's saying.
Right. So yeah, this is a little glimpse into Shanghai. So let's start saving our pennies. It is not, no official release date. No official opening date has been announced. It's early 2016. So
so look for the announcement for the Creepy Kingdom Shanghai Disneyland meetup. For all you Shanghai listeners out there.
Yeah, for everyone in Shanghai. I don't know. I haven't checked the stats to see how we're doing in Shanghai. But, hey, guys, let's meet up out there. I'm going to say not before 2019, probably, but, you know.
Fair estimate. All right.
We'll see what kind of good fortunes come my way if I can figure if we have to go out there. I don't know. You know, who knows. But, I want to go, so. You know, maybe Disney will like, you know what, we need to do? We need to get some American podcasters out there. So they'll make,
yeah,
get us some like all expense paid trip out there to cover. So I'm more than willing, guys.
I am totally willing to turn my critical journalistic eye to Shanghai.
All right. And we'll be fair.
Yes. Yeah. Tough, but fair. All right. Looking at you, Disco Croc.
If you would like to get in touch with us here at Creepy Kingdom, just shoot us an email at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you would like to check out our other podcasts, such as Curvy Cutie Chat, Thieve and James the Podcast Podcast, and Roxy's World, just go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you need to do is go to creepykingdom.com. Until next time, keep it creepy.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.